Between the Covers, a series designed around who and what can be done and achieved by patients, planning and working in a community of like-minded, successful people. This podcast series is for anyone looking at becoming a successful published author and those looking to understand the mind of a writer and the goals of a publisher. Proudly sponsored by Shoreline Publishing. Welcome and enjoy.
G'day and welcome to the Between the Covers podcast, the Shoreline Publishing podcast. And in this episode, we've got the fantastic Cameron Beattie, who's got a new book out called Cotton Nails. Cam, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Will.
That's all right, mate. I'll go straight to the nuts and bolts. What was the inspiration behind Cotton Nails?
Well, I've been a professional firefighter for 10 years, and these were the thoughts and feelings that I was having working in a very male-dominated space with a lot of toxicity being thrown around, and the feelings of perhaps being trapped within that and trying to navigate that in a way that's meaningful to you. And it's a difficult thing when you've got that male pressure on you to feel comfortable in that space. So basically this is the child of that. That's how it happened.
So is it a memoir as such, or is it sort of memoir / fiction / fantasy / adventure / something else?
Well, it's a bit of everything. Front and foremost, yes, it absolutely has a memoir quality to it. And when I first started writing it, it came just from random snippets of events that I was putting down on paper. And then through that, I found a narrative voice that was true to my own, that kept sort of pushing itself through these little stories that I was writing. So then I needed to find a beginning, middle, and end for it. So that's where it became fictionalized as such. But the thoughts, the feelings are absolutely true to my experience. And yes, there's a lot of true events in this book as well.
So we're looking at there's a pretty serious angle or two in it, particularly around PTSD. Is that something you really wanted to get out of yourself and almost find as a cathartic thing to write about?
Yes, it was very cathartic to write. When I first started writing this, I had no intention or even thought that perhaps it would be published. So for me, it was my own private way to make sense of things that had happened to me. But further to that, there was something I thought was an important story to tell about how perhaps in these environments they are toxic, they are male dominated, they're very hyper masculine. We're taught to not show any emotion. Mm-hmm. So when you have mental health issues, whether it's PTSD or whatever it is that you're dealing with, you have to put on a mask, and that mask becomes very heavy to wear after a while. So this was the cathartic element to me to be able to put this down into words and to be able to give it to someone for them to be able to read and perhaps look through my lens.
The mask is something I call in mental health terms the Superman suit. So you might not be feeling it that day, but you get out, you put your Superman suit on, you go and interact with the world and try and be as normal as humanly possible. But it's hard when you're in a really toxically masculine situation like a club or a group. Like, I think footy clubs are like it, but exactly. I imagine the services are like it too.
Yes, they absolutely are. There is an unspoken code of how you need to present yourself, and you're surrounded by people that like getting reactions out of you.
Yep.
They like getting under your skin. This is all part of the male way, and I think we're in an age where we're starting to hopefully see that mentality phased out, but I think it's going to be a long way before we do. So when you go to work, you put on your mask or your Superman suit and you do whatever's required, and quite often, well, with me, the narrative voice through Riley, the protagonist, is a very detached one, because that was the way that I had to deal with it.
Did you find, you say the mask gets very heavy, is that because A, you can't take it off for fear of what might happen, or B, It just gets more and more layers on it each and every day.
Both. Absolutely both. And there are reactions under there that you're suppressing. So if you took that mask off, you might not know what's going to happen. And you might not know how you'd respond to your colleagues, to your workmates, to your friends, to your family. And that can be scary. And there might be very heavy reactions brewing there. So that mask does get thicker to keep it all down.
Did you find that there's, having written it and people are reading it, there's a level of empathy for what you were going through?
Do you mean as in would people have empathy for what I was going through?
Yeah, through the voice of Riley, of course, but developing empathy for that character?
I'd hope so, because he is suffering and he is suffering in silence. So I think I would hope that it would be relatable specifically to men who are in these environments, because any man has been exposed to toxicity, whether you're in a male-dominated environment or not. Everyone knows what it's like to have certain expectations of you and to have those expectations really limit perhaps your life, your worldview, and your experiences. And it can be a very difficult thing to take that mask off and to learn to be comfortable in your own skin and say, here I am and this is what I'm about. So
it's a real challenge, isn't it?
Well, yeah. And a big part of that was not only writing this book, but was then making the decision to get it published. Firefighters will read it. The world will read it.
Did you have any fear around that? A little bit of anxiety or nerves that, you know, people are going to read this and go, oh, maybe he is different to what we thought?
Of course. Of course. I've made a lot of statements that about the brigade that would make a lot of firefighters unhappy. I haven't portrayed it in a romantic way. I haven't portrayed it in a Hollywood-type way that people might expect picking up this book. So that alone is intimidating, because the brigade and other male-dominated environments thrive on a cone of silence. No one talks about what really happens. No one talks about what we really think and what we really feel. It's very important that we all look alike and we all say the same thing and all sing the same tune. So I'm very aware of that, and I had to think about that for a long time before I hit the button and put it out there.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you see on telly all the time, like, and movies, you mentioned Hollywood and how they portray firefighters as the, you know, the heroes of 9/11, or the heroes that save the cat from the tree, or, you know, pull a baby out of a burning building. But to lift the lid on that must be, I imagine the fire service must always go, oh, geez, how's this going to hurt our recruiting?
Absolutely. Absolutely they will. And there's another story there in more recent times where I've taken issue with the toxic culture behind firefighting, and the response was extremely hostile and extremely negative.
Wow.
This is as recent as, well, it's still happening.
Yep.
Things have happened. I've taken my complaints to the higher ups in the brigade, I've been silenced.
I think across the whole premise of the book, so whether it's tackling the PTSD angle, tackling the toxic masculinity and the cathartic process, and even having it as a mini memoir, so to speak, I think there's an element of bravery, is it? It's the sort of bravery that you get associated with firefighters in the Hollywood movies. You know, they're brave people, they're really brave people, but this is a different type of bravery, isn't it?
It's an emotional bravery, I think. And thank you for saying that, because it has been scary. It's been very scary. And it's been very scary to take the mask off and to make my opinions and feelings public.
Yep.
But hopefully firefighters do read it. Hopefully young men read it. And hopefully it maybe sets a better example about how we can carry ourselves as men. There's no point in us trying to deny that we're emotional beings.
Yep.
There's absolutely no point to that at all, and it's counterproductive to living a good life, and that's what I've learned.
I think going through your media kit, which is available at shorelinepublishing.com.au, if you search Cameron, you'll be able to find it. I read that and thought, as a father and a husband, I've got two sons and a daughter, the way that men are interact around each other and towards women as well is a really important thing, and something that men are still learning. This book really does shine a light on, you know, this isn't a good thing or this is a good thing. And it's something they can grab to, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And as men, especially in these kinds of toxic environments, we're taught to compartmentalize our thinking.
Mm, absolutely.
So it's okay if what you say in the fire truck, it stays in the fire truck. And no, that's not the case, because it's all part of a much bigger thing. It's part of an attitude towards women. So jokes that people make, comments that people make that think are harmless are not harmless at all, because it's all part of keeping women silent and keeping them subservient to men.
It's a bit like that locker room talk that the former president was talking about, wasn't it? Like he was able to get away with certain things because it was locker room talk, but there is no such thing, and this book really does shine a light on that.
Oh, thank you. And, that's been my intention, because I think this is something that just absolutely needs to be spoken about more in the brigade and more with men in general. It's a hard thing. It seems to be a hard thing for men to be able to step away from that, because that's what they identify as being a man. If you objectify women, that makes you a man. If you puff your chest, that makes you a man. But no one wants to ask what's actually behind that and where does it take you? And it doesn't take you to a good place.
No, not at all. Well, what will take you to a good place is picking up a copy of Cotton Nails by Cameron Beattie. It's available at shorelinepublishing.com.au. Search Cameron and you'll find that, or search Cotton Nails and make it even easier still. Cam, fantastic to have a chat. We could talk all day, but I really hope the book goes quite well for you and lifts the lid on some of this stuff and gets the story told that you want told, mate.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Will. I really appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Between the Covers, produced by Shoreline Publishing.